This is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch this show on Free Speech TV nationwide and listen to it on Pacifica radio stations and affiliates. President Donald Trump is racing to fill federal, district, and appeals court judicial vacancies as fast as possible, at a much greater pace than his predecessor, President Obama, was able to do. Unsurprisingly, Trump's judicial nominees are so far to the right that he's effectively remaking the federal court system to favor his party's extremist agenda. They are also, unsurprisingly, mostly white and mostly male. Despite his inability to rack up legislative wins, Trump's judicial nominations, which are immune to Democratic filibustering and are thus sailing through the appointment process, means the GOP is likely to have many legal wins in federal courts for years to come. Today, we'll go through some of the nominees' records with my guest, Dan Goldberg. He is the legal director with the group Alliance for Justice. Welcome to the program, Dan.
Thank you for having me.
So let's begin with an overview. The federal court system is very complicated, and I think a lot of Americans, ordinary Americans, just don't pay attention to how it's set up. How is it that there are so many vacancies to begin with for Trump to fill?
Well, first, it can't be overstated, the impact of federal courts, including lower court judges, on everyday Americans. The Supreme Court only hears about 80 cases a year. That means for 99% of people across the country, the final say on what the law is, what the Constitution means, and legal protections are up to lower court judges. And you alluded to the fact that President Trump has approximately 130 vacancies to fill. One reason is that Republicans kept President Obama from nominating and confirming qualified individuals. You might remember that Republicans kept the Supreme Court seat open for Neil Gorsuch, and they did the same thing for lower court judges as well.
So these lower courts, these are federal courts in states around the country, they're district courts, they're appeals courts, what is the process for Trump to be able to nominate them and get them appointed? If Obama was in effect prevented or at least slowed down by the Republican Party, how is it that Democrats can't slow Trump down?
Well, first of all, as you said, lower court judges cannot be filibustered. So the Republicans control the Senate right now, and 52 Republican senators can vote to put on a lifetime seat Trump's judges. I should say, though, that Democrats are not powerless. There's a 100-year tradition in the U.S. Senate whereby both home state senators need to approve a judicial vacancy before the process begins on them. So in states where there's Democratic senators, for example, California has two Democratic senators, they have a say on who gets nominated and confirmed to a seat on the courts.
I understand Texas has the most vacancies, and that's where that's a state where people are the most concerned about?
I think people are concerned throughout the country, but you did mention Texas. That's a state where Senator Cruz and Senator Cornyn made clear to President Obama that he could appoint anybody, no matter how qualified, and they would not sign off and move that individual through the process. So that's one reason there's so many vacancies in Texas, is because the Republicans made sure that those vacancies would remain for a Republican president.
So let's go through some of the judicial nominees that you have, your organization has profiled on your website, Alliance for Justice's website. You've gone through and you've put together fact sheets about many of these nominees. And actually, even before we do that, how many of the nominees have been appointed so far? So far, in terms of getting through appointment, it's only been a handful, but there's many people being nominated every constantly?
That's true. He's the president's been expeditiously nominating approximately 10 to 15 nominees a month, both
wow.
to the Court of Appeals and the District Court. You mentioned in your opening that this president has had some defeats, healthcare, immigration legislation. The federal courts is one area where he is moving expeditiously to get names up to the Senate. And the Senate Judiciary Committee is expeditiously processing them.
So let's go through some of these. You have a list of seven or eight people on your website that you've profiled, all white, two or three of them women. One of the judicial nominees is David Strauss. Your organization points out that he is with the Minnesota Supreme Court and has been nominated by Trump to serve on the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Eighth Circuit, and that you found a number of red flags on his record showing that he's basically going to be a pro-corporate lawyer. How important is it for us to pay attention to his record?
David Strauss, first of all, was nominated to a seat where there's two Democratic senators, Senator Franken and Senator Klobuchar. And what's important there is David Strauss was on the president's short list for the Supreme Court. That was a list he had announced during the campaign where he said all of the people on this list meet certain litmus tests, including that they will quote unquote automatically overturn Roe v. Wade and met criteria of far right organizations here in Washington. Unlike President Obama, who reached out to Republican senators and reached consensus for bipartisan mainstream nominees, President Trump completely ignored the two home state senators in Minnesota and put up a far-right ideologue approved by organizations here in Washington, not Minnesotans.
So the issues at stake where Strauss is concerned, and this is, of course, the case where all of these nominees are concerned, are things like voting rights, are things like immigrant rights, the rights of victims of sexual assault, workplace discrimination issues, labor rights, right? We're talking about any issue that can be litigated could end up in front of one of these extreme right judges that Trump is basically sprinkling all over the country that could impact ordinary Americans.
That's 100% correct. Whether you're talking civil rights, rights of women, rights for LGBTQ Americans, protections for workers and consumers, these lower court judges makes a tremendous difference. I mean, you've seen that the minute President Trump came in, he demonstrated his contempt for the Constitution by putting forth a facially anti-discriminatory travel ban. It was judges in the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals, both Democrat and Republican appointed judges, who said to the president that you're not above the law and that we're going to enforce the Constitution. And a question with all of the judges that President Trump has put forward are these the type of judges who will enforce the Constitution, ensure that critical legal protections are properly applied? Or, as we've seen in way too many of their records, are these people who minimize the importance of civil rights, degrade LGBTQ Americans, and go out of their way to rule for corporations over everyday Americans?
Ralph Erickson is another nominee. He has been put forward, had his name put forward to fill a vacancy on the Eighth Circuit Court of Appeals. And he offers the example of how overtly favorable to the Republican Party these nominees are. I mean, we want judges to follow the letter of the law. We want the ideas that judges are supposed to uphold the Constitution. How closely aligned with the Republican Party is Erickson?
Well, it's not just Erickson. I want to mention, I think the poster child is a person by the name of John Bush in the Sixth Circuit from Kentucky. The only reason John Bush is now sitting on the Sixth Circuit, overhearing appeals and cases that'll impact millions of people in Ohio, Kentucky, Tennessee, and Michigan. The only reason he's on the bench is because John Bush's wife raised millions of dollars for Mitch McConnell. John Bush is an individual who, if you look at, he who had an anonymous blog on a conservative website where he degraded women, degraded LGBTQ Americans, said that Nancy Pelosi, the first female Speaker of the House, should be, quote unquote, should be gagged. referring to her as Mama Pelosi, he spread vile birther conspiracies regarding Barack Obama. This is somebody who it has no right being a federal judge, but is only on the federal court because of the closeness to the Senate Majority Leader.
There's also the case of Kevin Newsom, who has been nominated by Trump to fill a seat that really should have gone to an Obama nominee, a man who would have become the first African-American judge sitting on a court of appeals from Alabama. What's the problem with Kevin Newsom? And how, you know, it's easy for us to sort of lay all of this at Trump's feet, but of course, this is the Republican Party making this happen as a whole, a lot of these senators.
Well, first of all, Kevin Newsom has expeditiously been confirmed to the 11th Circuit Court of Appeals.
It's a done deal for him now.
It's a done deal. He's sitting on the court right now. And as you noted, that was a seat where President Obama put up a highly qualified district court judge who would have been the first African-American nominated in if he had been confirmed on the 11th Circuit from Alabama, a state which certainly has a troubling history when it comes to race. And Senator Sessions and Senator Shelby explicitly said,
then Senator Sessions, now of course our Attorney General, but yeah.
That's correct. Explicitly said, we will not confirm this highly qualified individual so we can keep the seat open for a conservative Republican. Kevin Newsom was the Attorney General or the Solicitor General in Alabama. He defended a lot of the state's questionable practices when it came to the death penalty, denying critical representation to death row inmates, and making sure that it was easier for the state of Alabama to put people to death. So his record was very troubling.
Wow. So, I mean, then there are many, many others that people can go through on your website. Let's look at some of the female nominees. Joan Larson was nominated by Donald Trump. She is on the Michigan Supreme Court. She was nominated to the Court of Appeals for the Sixth Circuit. What are the problems that you find with Joan Larson?
Again, Joan Larson was on the president's shortlist for the Supreme Court. So she's an individual, again, met the president's litmus test to automatically overturn Roe v. Wade and met the litmus test of the far right groups here in Washington. Her record has demonstrated she's a friend of the Chamber of Commerce, friend of corporations, has ruled against everyday Americans. And as a young lawyer, she was in the Bush Justice Department in 2002, when the Bush Justice Department signed off on some incredibly questionable practices under the guise of executive power to fight terrorism, including giving the president the power to torture individuals and to deny rights of persons arrested in the name of fighting terror. Mm-hmm. And there's serious questions as to whether she will be an independent voice on the Sixth Circuit. Will she be willing to stand up to this president when he violates the Constitution in the names of fighting terrorism, in the name of national security?
Some of the nominees that Trump is putting forward are very young, like Stephen Schwartz. He has been nominated to serve as a judge on the U.S. Court of Federal Claims. And this is a person who's only 34 years old. Your organization, Alliance for Justice, has dubbed him ultra-conservative. What are the problems that you see with Stephen Schwartz, and how worried should we be that Trump is nominating some very young judges whose career span, you know, could basically impact the courts for decades to come, just as he's done with Neil Gorsuch on the Supreme Court, who's a young judge?
You're exactly right. You know, what's interesting is the American Bar Association, in rating federal judges, you have to have 12 years of practice to be rated even qualified. Stephen Schwartz is 34 years old. He would not meet that 12-year bar. And he is somebody who, in his very, very short legal career, has met every checklist for conservative causes, whether that's trying to deny transgender students equal rights, whether that's trying to make it more difficult for African Americans to vote in North Carolina, or whether defending some extreme anti-abortion legislation in Louisiana. He has been an ideologue lawyer who on the bench will bring an ideological movement conservatism to the law.
So we basically have a situation right now where if Trump continues unabated, we're going to see a very, very partisan federal court system that impacts Americans in ways that we might not even be able to predict right now, but perfectly in line with the Republican Party. What can be done to stop this? I mean, I mean, some people might say, let's impeach this guy as fast as possible. Then you've got a President Pence who will likely do exactly the same thing as Trump on this issue of federal judicial nominees with the Republican Party in power. Is there anything to stop them?
Well, I think there's two things. First of all, I hope that there's some lines that the Republican senators will not cross. For example, we haven't spoken about Damian Schiff, nominated to the Federal Court of Claims. Damian Schiff was also a prolific blogger. One of his most prominent blogs is he said that Justice Kennedy is a quote-unquote judicial prostitute. Quite frankly, somebody who degrades a sitting United States Supreme Court justice has no right being a federal judge. Damian Schiff was voted out of committee with all Republicans supporting. I would hope, though, when that vote comes to the full floor, Republicans will stand up and say there is some line we won't cross in support of Donald Trump. That's number one. Number two, currently Democrats have the power in states where they have senators to stop Donald Trump's nominees.
But that's if Trump actually respects that, right?
Well, the 100-year tradition of the Senate is that both home state senators have to approve nominations before the Senate Judiciary Committee will process them. Right now, Senator Grassley has made clear, as he did when President Obama was president, that he is going to stick with that 100-year tradition. So it's up to Democrats to exercise that right and ensure that they only sign off on bipartisan mainstream nominees who share all of our values, not just the values of Donald Trump and right-wing organizations here in Washington.
Well, let's hope some of that actually does happen. It's so important, of course, to have media coverage of this. I've been noticing very little media coverage of what's happening at the federal courts level. Have you?
I think you're exactly right. I think, look, there's a lot going on. There's a lot of controversy surrounding this president and some of the vile hatred that's coming out of the White House. But I really thank you for highlighting this critical issue. These judges will be on the federal courts making decisions that affect millions of people's lives long after Donald Trump has left the scene. So I really want to thank you for highlighting really some of the dangerous nominees that are being put forward who will be shaping our laws for the next generation.
Give out a website, Dan, where people can find out more about the Alliance for Justice.
If you go to afj.org, all our reports are online, and I really encourage folks to look at the nominees in their own words. I'm not mischaracterizing these folks, but for example, Damian Schiff, prolific blogger, look at his words and make clear that this is not somebody who should be judging the rights of others. When litigants walk into a courtroom, they're entitled to know that their case is being listened to, not by an ideologue, not by somebody who has espoused vile and hatred things on a blog, but a neutral judge who will fairly listen to the facts and apply the law. And in too many cases, that's not the people that Donald Trump is nominating.
Well, Dan, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you very much for having me. Appreciate it.
Dan Goldberg is the legal director with Alliance for Justice, and we've been discussing Trump and the GOP's race to stack federal courts with extreme right-wing judges. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter. Also find us on Facebook, Twitter, iTunes, and Vimeo.